Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome to a Tuesday morning on the Steakhouse. My name is Steak. That's Sandra. Thank you for being with us on the Odyssey app, which is obviously where we want you to spend a little time. Get on that Odyssey app anywhere you are, in town, out of town. Get on the app and follow us on social media as well. On a day like yesterday, when big news breaks, all kinds of reaction that you can get from all the personalities and staying on top of all the latest news. So make sure you are a part of that as you continue to follow the local sports scene and so much more. Good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very good. Thank you so much. Were you or just off the air when the news broke from the Hawks, right?
We were off the air.
Yeah, just off the air. So just after 11.
Yeah, is that when it broke officially?
Mm-hmm.
That Landry Fields was replaced. Yes, indeed. So, I had a hankering that might be going down in terms of the Hawks trying to do some different things. But, yes, we just got off here. Mike Johnson worked with us. Obviously, he was there on Friday night. It was a spectacular game. Such a fun night. Such a bad ending, though, as you were down by 17. You come all the way back. You take a six-point lead. Watching Tony Ressler, the owner, and all our buddies over there, and they were so excited. And we're going to get Cleveland in town. Cleveland would have been here, I believe, Sunday and Tuesday. We would have had home games. So what a great Sunday that could have been to go down to State Farm and then next week. But it's all for naught as the Heat are the ones in
the playoffs. So had they won one of those or got in, do you think that would have saved his job?
No, I don't think so. I think if you were out of the first round of the playoffs, unless maybe you went seven games. I don't know. Listen, I mean, what we can talk a lot about, we'll do probably, but Landry Fields made some very solid moves over the last, you know, year. But, you know, it's the entire body of work. It's the direction of the team. It's can you swing and be bold, and is he the guy to make that decision? It's being in the play-in purgatory like you and I have talked about.
Right,
and I just think it was a cultural shift to say we're going to have a president of basketball operations who, you know, Landry's not going to work for him. And so, anyway, it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, Hawks fans have been through a lot over the years as we continue to talk about those two franchises that came in the mid-60s and just have not been able to deliver, the Hawks and the Falcons.
Right.
What's been happening with you? Where was the weekend? You were in town.
Out on the lake, on the water. It was a perfect weekend, as everybody enjoyed. A nice Easter, beautiful Easter weekend, and just gorgeous at the lakes, on the boat, floating, moating. It's awesome. My girls' beach trip, 19th straight year, girls' beach trip is coming up this weekend.
Oh, it's
so I'm
this
looking forward to, yeah, we leave
weekend.
Friday.
Mm-hmm. So are you not with me next week?
No, I'm back on Monday. So I don't miss my days.
It's only three
nights.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to that.
What part of 38 are you at? Same house, different house?
Different house.
And who got the house this year?
I got the house this year. Mm-hmm.
Where?
It's Seagrove, and it's brand new, and it's beautiful. And it's so funny how different we are over the past 19 years of, like, we all want our own room now. So we're not bunking up. We're, you know, it's so making dinner reservations. It's not 9 o'clock anymore, y'all. This ain't Kansas anymore.
When this came to fruition, we were working together.
Yeah.
And there were all kinds of folks that were, you know, a part of this trip. And, you know, it was, you know, get your liver ready because we are getting after it hard. And you had that big house on Grayton Beach. Like, that
we
was
used
just
to hang out and meet up with Rusty's listening. His boys' trip was the same time, and we'd met up with his crew at Bud Alley's and just have a good old time.
Red Bar.
All of it, yeah. So it's just, I'm very much looking forward to that. And then
how many girls this year?
There's only 9 this year.
Okay.
And last year was 16.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I said. They're falling. They're dropping like flies.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, it's going to be good, though. And then I sat getting ready for the Braves, and, well, Spencer Strider did what? As we hear, he's on the IL now. playing catch. I don't know how you do this, playing catch, if someone would like to tell me. And now he's on the 15-day missing in action. So they'll do a bullpen game today, we guess. They'll do an opener. I'm so irritated with all of it, Stake. I mean, it just, if it weren't, luckily the Braves have now won four in a row. So this is really great news. They did it in beautiful fashion last night until they didn't. They score five in the eighth, and then Raisel Iglesias decided to make it interesting for all the wrong reasons. I don't know what's wrong with him,
hey,
but
listen,
at least they
got
win.
A W. What you worry about is Spencer Strider, obviously, and this proclivity to not being healthy and this thing that, you know, seems to be something that Braves starters have dealt with in terms of what time of year they're not healthy. Whether it's the Max Fried in the postseason or what happened to Chris Sale in his postseason, and now Spencer Strider with all this great hope that, you know, I mean, first of all, just not winning the first start that he came back, and now just getting one start out of him and going back in a way different situation.
Would you like to hear my theory?
Yeah, I mean,
he doesn't have any body fat. If somebody needs to talk to him about his diet. He needs to be a little pudgy. You know what Greg Maddux never had, Steak?
He never had a, what's the injury for Spencer Strider, exactly?
Say again?
What's his injury?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. They were talking to me in my ear, so stop snapping at me already. It's early, 9:09. Quad hamstring. Quaddy Quaderstein. So he literally was playing toss, not running, not anything. So Greg Maddux? He had the body that could win a math tournament. He was not going to be in any sort of shape. You know, and he never pulled a muscle, ever. So, you know these guys like LeBron James, they brag about their no body fat.
Yeah.
So, pudge him up is what my issue
is. Yeah, but LeBron James.
Give him a nice, like, milkshake and some Snickers bars and some bread.
I mean, you literally think he's wound too tight, or are you just joking?
That's exactly right. Did you say that on the air, Bo? Vegan. He's a vegan. Yeah, and that I totally agree with you. Like, red meat, get something.
Are you guys having a conversation? Is that what Bo just said? You just let me hear what your thought is. So he doesn't have a lot of protein or fat in his
Spence
diet.
Does eat a vegan diet, or he is a vegan. I'm not sure how they like to be termed. But
right.
I'm not saying that has anything to do with it, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't.
I'm just saying, when you don't
Maybe
have body fat.
Put some meat in your
fat,
life. Get some protein in you.
Thank you.
Well,
body
I mean, you can
fat.
Be a vegan and have protein. Okay.
You can, I guess, nut protein or plant protein or whatever, but
that's not real protein. Stop.
Anyways, those are interesting theories, but there's plenty of guys that are built like Spencer Strider that are in impeccable shape. I think it's bad, or in terms of staying healthy, I think it's bad luck. It's a reality of each season has its own personality. The personality of the 2025 Braves for right now is going to be overcoming a lot of stuff. And that's Jerkson Profar, and that's Spencer Strider, and that is...
Ronaldo Lopez. Are you kidding?
It's waiting for Ronald Acuna, who has his stuff with Brian Snicker, which nobody saw that coming, right? Ronald from the, you know, from the sidelines taking shots, really, at Snit. I mean, it's just a unique deal. I'm watching that Red Sox documentary on Netflix, and it's not because it's the Red Sox... I would probably do it because it's Hard Knocks for a baseball.
Larry, husband loves it.
It's awesome.
He's watching. He says it's fantastic.
It's awesome. It's Hard Knocks for baseball. And Alex Cora is a friggin' star. And it's fascinating, like any team, all the inner workings when you get that access.
Yeah.
And every season has its own personality. And the Braves right now, they would have made a great version of the clubhouse, right? And you know, I've watched 3-4 episodes. Red Sox are 7-8 games under over 500 with a very mediocre team. This is last year. And they're about to crumble. And that will be fascinating, too, because they're about to go in the tank. You had Jared Duran on this. You know what he revealed in this documentary, right? He had a rifle in his hand. Fans were booing him. Pressure from his father, who seems like a real real jerk. And he pulled the trigger, did not go off, and that's the only reason he's alive and played in the All-Star game last year.
Yeah.
I mean, wild stuff to hear. And my point is, every baseball team, you've been around them, the inner workings, but boy, there's been a lot with the Braves this year. That was a big W for sure.
Some of the details you want to know. Braves win it. 7-6 was the final. Spencer Schwellenbach goes 7-8 hits, 3 runs, 2 of those earned. Struck out 5. He threw 92 pitches, 67 were for strikes. Sean Murphy, get your glasses on. 3-run home run. Listen to this. He has 8 hits this year. 5 of those are home runs. Yes, Sean Murphy. Raisel Iglesias came in and made it interesting, gave up 2 doubles, a home run. He has allowed now 4 home runs this year. He allowed 4 home runs the totality of last season. So is he being used a lot? Yeah. Is he coming in save situations? Not so much, my friend. Braves have won 4 straight. They will go at it again tonight with the Cardinals at 7:15. This is your opener, apparently. Michael Peterson, possibly, who they just called up from AAA Gwinnett. A right-hander hit 97 and 98 on the gun his last outing. Or will it be Scott Blewett from that they just got from the Orioles? We shall see. Either way, start lining up now because tonight at Truist is the Chipper Jones 2000 All-Star Bobblehead. Okay.
Boy, they've been advertising that like crazy.
Yeah,
seen
you're
those
not
ads?
Kidding. Yeah, it looks
non-stop.
Good.
Non-stop.
I want to keep an eye on the Mets because we should. They just won 5 straight. Mets and Phillies are in a 3-game series. First one was last night. Mets win at 5-4. The Mets all of a sudden are 16-7. They have the best record in baseball alongside the Dodgers and the Padres. We mentioned the Hawks fire GM Landry Fields. We'll get much more into that. You also need to know that the Falcons have their voluntary OTAs today and tomorrow out at Flowery Branch. Interesting timing. They usually have one right before the draft. Tomorrow, Terry Fontenot will address the media, so we'll find out what he's going to say to us. And the Falcons sign Easton Stick, who is a quarterback. What? Yeah. Well, he was with the Chargers, came out of North Dakota State. He was drafted in 2019, but it's just kind of an interesting twist, their stake, that now they got a quarterback in the mix.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, he's a quarterback in the mix. So if they can move Kirk, they have a backup, kind of. Mm-hmm. I got to learn more about him. Hey, Pistons win last night at Madison Square Garden. That was a big win. Old friend Dennis Schroeder hits a massive 3 after the Knicks come all the way back from 15 down or something in the fourth. And why are the Clippers a NBA title contender? Kawhi Leonard is back and healthy. His numbers last night, by the way, they beat Denver.
He was 105-102. Kawhi had 39.
He was 15 of 19 from the floor. That's 80% from the floor, Kawhi Leonard last night. And that's the only way they won that road game. That is crazy numbers. Crazy numbers. Clippers are really good with James Harden and Zubac and Norman Powell and everything else. Hey, when we come back, Sandra was saying to me in the pre-show meeting, she had questions about the Hawks and what all this might mean and how it relates back to Dallas and their best player. We know who our best player is. Could he be suffering a similar fate? We'll talk about it. Coming back, it's the Steakhouse Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so we want the Nico here. We're going to do all Hawks, right?
923, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Steak and Sandra, thanks so much for being with us on a Tuesday morning in the great city of Atlanta. As, I don't know, we get some rain coming up next 3 or 4 days. Mm-hmm. I know you guys enjoyed a weekend full of golf and tennis and Alta and Easter barbecues and getting a lot of warm weather. Not going to be that way this week, which is fine. Are you one of those people that likes a good rainy night?
Love a rainy night. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. I heard you talking about that. Yeah, just drizzle and thunder in the background.
You don't have the pressure that you should be outside. Yeah. How can I be hunkered down reading a book or, you know, streaming stuff and all that?
Napping to an afternoon rain.
Oh, a good nap to nothing like a good afternoon nap with the rain going down and all that as well. So that's all happening this week, as is the NFL draft. We'll have phenomenal coverage coming Thursday night, Friday night, all weekend long. Mike Johnson's going to be dominating and owning that. So look forward to that. Make sure you have the Odyssey app. Wherever you get your apps, make sure Odyssey is a part of it. That's where you would have got the news that Landry Fields was being dismissed as the general manager of the Atlanta Hawks. Nice guy, wonderful family. I thought was kind of coming into his own a little bit over the last year, whereas he was real nondescript for his couple of years and didn't have a ton of success necessarily. But listen, as I told Thomas Dimitroff, and as I've told many general managers over the years, I'm trying to think how many of them I've covered, a lot of them, Harold Richardson with the Falcons and Travis Schlenk and all, those aren't lifetime jobs. Those aren't, you know, you're not on the Supreme Court. These are jobs where you're lucky to get 3, 5, 7, 10 years as a GM. Just like coaches, you will be fired. It will not end the way you want it to end. That is just how it goes. Folks get impatient. Fans get impatient. Owners get impatient. And the Hawks not even making the playoffs was not a good look, right? So
they finished 40-44 this year. They lost both games in the Atlanta Hawks Invitational. When they have named the play-in games after your team, it's not good. And I was wondering, Steak and I have not discussed this, so I'm going to just throw some stuff out there. Do you believe that the energy in that building, like the big D energy, is Quinn and it wasn't Landry?
Yeah, I think that he is so well regarded, Quinn Snyder, that they have the right guy. There's so much notion that Quinn Snyder is, you know, compulsively just focused on basketball, that he's an incredibly bright mind, that his passion is what they're looking for. I don't know that they think that Landry Fields quite shared the same level of passion as Quinn Snyder, and I don't mean to say, you know, question his work ethic, but, you know, Quinn's at a different level.
I'm just saying, if you look around your office, any Office USA, any team, there's usually one, the guy, the it guy. And that's why I'm questioning, because Quinn is that guy. Quinn is naturally that guy.
Well,
that's not a knock on Landry. I just feel
he's naturally that guy with the Hawks. You are 100% right. That's how he is perceived.
That's right.
His bosses have a perception that they have absolutely landed on the right guy in Quinn Snyder. And I don't know that they think that Landry Fields had the kind of influence, contacts, depth of relationships that other GMs in the league had. And that sometimes affects you going out and getting the guys you want. I mean, listen, you know, the Risa Shea pick, they're all a part of the Risa Shea pick. It looks like it was a good pick. I mean, he was absolutely overmatched the other night, and he needs 20 pounds in the worst friggin' way, because they had to bench him the other night because he just couldn't match up in playoff basketball. Obviously, the Dyson Daniels trade was a good one.
Let me just interrupt you. I think in terms of the history of that draft pick, no one's going to be bellyaching that. What were they doing taking Risa Shea?
I agree.
It wasn't a Victor Wiman, and it wasn't a Cooper Flagg. It's going to go down in history as you took the best of what was available.
Yes, it will go down that it was a good pick. Mm-hmm. It may not be a great pick. It's a long way to go. Alexander Sarr was number two at Washington. Listen, here's the thing. I mean, you have got to be bold. You have got to be aggressive. You have to show your fans that there is nothing that you are not going to try to do to change the history around this basketball team. And you know, making the Eastern Finals was exciting. I was a weak Eastern Conference 5 years ago when Trey and the beats the Sixers. And since then, you've been in the play-in 4 years, I believe, or some combination of 7 through 10. And I think Tony Ressler, you know, guys who make billions of dollars and are titans of industries, they don't like being an afterthought. And the Atlanta Hawks, you and I talk about it all the time. There's a level of relevance that does not exist when you talk about the rest of the NBA. And that goes with those two teams last night now, with the Pistons winning in New York. Mm-hmm. They're 1-1. They get Cade Cunningham, and they got a young team. And then you're talking about the Orlando Magic and Paolo Banchero. You're talking about Indiana. You're talking about Boston and Cleveland and the Knicks. Like, we want to be in the mix, and we're not in the mix. And, you know, Everything has to be on the table, including trading Trae Young. You know, I mean, what are we getting out of Trae Young? What's Trae getting out of Atlanta? What's Atlanta getting out of Trae? So we've tried it. How is this year a success? You know, we didn't lose Julius Erving. We lost Jalen Johnson. Nice player. Not an all-star.
Right.
He's not a first team, second team. I mean, he's a nice player. So you have some assets. You get two number ones, courtesy of the Lakers in Sacramento. You got $41 million in cap space. You have Trae Young, who's a star. Maybe you go make some bold moves. And Trae Young could be on the table. So
okay, speaking of bold moves, let's pivot to Nico Harrison, who's the GM for the Dallas Mavericks, who did his Our Season's Over press conference and made this admission, much to the shock of the world.
I read a fascinating article. It's about a half hour to read it almost. Tim McMahon of ESPN. And I remember when the trade was made, Sandra, I said, it'll take a couple of months, but somebody is going to give the inside story. This is the inside story. Okay. They talked to 10 to 15 people within the Mavs organization or the ones who have left it to do a deep dive on how bad the relationship was with Nico Harrison and Luka and Luka's camp. Nico Harrison alienated Dirk Nowitzki, who credits his career with the training staff of the Mavs that also worked with Luka. Nico Harrison fired a lot of those guys. Nowitzki separated himself from the team. Luka's team was in the Nowitzki camp. They actually had problems with Nico Harrison. It was an ugly power struggle that folks could see in the building that happens in other companies. And they kept blaming him being a little bit heavy. They kept blaming his injuries on his work ethic. And Lucas Camp would want to say he has to sit for 7 weeks. Nico's like, we need him back in 4 weeks. It's just a hot mess. Mm-hmm. But if you're Nico Harrison, and you said, I did not know the level of passion. I don't know. You ever been to L.A. when Magic Johnson was there in 1983, when we got in the league in 79-80? Ever in Boston for Larry Bird? Michael Jordan didn't win any titles his first 5 years. What are you talking about? The guy went to the Western Finals. I said 2 years into his career, he is a generational, all-time top player in history. And I said he's probably better than Larry Bird. And, you know, and people are like, you're out of your mind. Well, his skill set is absolutely at the level of Magic and Larry, not Michael and LeBron maybe. And you didn't know?
You can't look around your building. It's a great example of the boss doesn't know the room. Because for him to admit that even, I was like, why are you even saying that? So my pivot to you, Stake, was, and you Trae Young fans, listen up. If something happens, if they trade Trae Young, is this amazing fan base of the Hawks fans, how are you going to feel about this?
Is it similar as what you're asking?
Yeah, I was like, is the owner's going to go, well, we knew we had to make a change, and this backlash that Dallas is getting, that reception that we saw when the Lakers went back to Dallas, I've never seen anything like it.
No, it's such a hot mess.
And the love for Trae is real. It's almost like there's such empathy for the guy because they haven't brought in a guy that can play with.
That's a great question. Is there empathy for Trae that they haven't given him the right cast?
Yeah, and by the way,
or are folks open to saying, listen, we haven't won with them necessarily. Let's try something new. What do you think?
I think that the reaction would be similar if it happens. And I'm going to tell you, after listening to the Our Season is Over press conferences, talk about a tale of two kids, for Landry to go, I'm thrilled with this year, and Trae to go, we need to concentrate on winning.
Well,
he said, this season
said
is a failure.
Yeah. Landry Fields says we have to preach patience. Trey's like, I don't care how young we are. The season's a failure. So, I don't know. Like, if I said
I'm on Team Trae Young with that. And he's looking at his career. What is it? He's been here, what, 8 years now?
Seriously? Yeah, it'll be his eighth year. What are we getting out of it? Like, what's the, okay, what, like, what are we getting out of it?
It's April 22nd and your season's over.
But why are you not considering moving Trae Young and changing it? We've got to be bold. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. What are you getting out of it? What you got out of Dominique? What did you get out of that? Guy never won more than one series. I love Dominique. But what are we doing here? Are we wanting to be bold? Do you believe trading Trae Young is similar to trading Luka Doncic? That's the question on the table. Can you read the room? Because somebody's making that decision, and it ain't Landry Fields. 404-726-0929. Trae Young's traded. What would you say? How would you react? We're throwing it out there. When we come back, great stuff from Sandra and Lane Kiffin. If you're a dad, if you're a husband, if you ever had anybody that had issues with addiction, you got to listen to this interview coming up. We'll do that when we come back. Sports Radio 929 The Game.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Uh, 9:41, Sports Talk Radio, live radio, live and local. We got it going on here, Stakey and Sandra. We're going to take your phone calls as well here. If you heard Trae Young was traded, is it the same as hearing Luka Doncic is traded? And, you know, my point is, what are we doing? How many years are we going to sit here and talk about Trae Young and what a legendary player he is? Yeah, great years, great player. He is not regarded like Luka Doncic is. He hasn't had the success Luka Doncic is. We made a mistake on draft night. Everybody knows it. You traded away Luka Doncic. I felt that way when I got on the air the next day, and I felt like way the entire time. And people want to say you're a hater. I'm not a hater at all. But at the end of the day, you take the bigger player, you take the better player, and it didn't happen. It's no knock on Trae Young. And Trae Young is the second best Atlanta Hawk of all time. Okay. So he's the second best Atlanta Hawk of all time. The best Atlanta Hawk of all time never played in an Eastern Conference final. Think about that. Guy never played in the East. Forget about winning a title. Forget about going to the finals. He never went to the Eastern finals. So what do we want to be here as a franchise? Keith, in Columbus, in your truck, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How you doing, Keith?
Yeah, I'll say get rid of him, trade him for whatever you get him. Get rid of it so don't let the door hit him in the butt. I'm just going to leave on that one.
Okay. You got to have a little more why. And, again, we're not here to bash Trae Young. Trae Young's not our problem.
And close the truck door, too.
Yeah, that was a bad call. You get a demerit. KB in Camp Creek, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, buddy.
Hey, what's going on? I think we should keep Trae Young. And we need to give up this syndrome that we keep trying to prepare for the future. If we're trying to win now, we need to get players to win now. I don't know if it's just the Falcons, the Hawks, the Braves. They're too concerned about the future to the point we can't win right now. So I think we need to just build for what we need. Like, we need a center.
Right. We definitely – putting a Congo in that situation is tough. Although he was spectacular the other night. Listen, Braves are trying to win now. They just won 3 years ago. They've been in the playoffs every year. Falcons tried to win now. They went and paid money for Kirk Cousins. That's the problem we're in. So you can't say they're not trying to win now.
But if the Hawks are trying to preach patience, that wears on my patience. That's not the right word.
Well, the person that preached patience, thank you for the phone call, the person that preached patience doesn't have a job anymore. And I'm very sensitive having lost jobs in the past. Landry Fields is a really good dude. Those are jobs that you get fired. And when you're two games under 500 and you're not even in the playoffs, you know, you're not cutting Dyson Daniels, and you don't want to. Or meaning, like, the players aren't the ones. Okongwu's not going nowhere. Now, Trae Young might or may not, but my point is you got to make changes. Tony Ressler, I'm sure, is not having the biggest party owning this team all these years and not having that level of success. And there will be a new alpha male head of basketball, president of basketball operations. And that guy is going to take a look and go, we have to be bold. How long are we going to sit back here and just be the Atlanta Hawks that not enough folks talk about? So I think that's all in the mix. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. I think that piece you brought up about Nico Harrison saying, I didn't know Dallas fans were that passionate about Luka Doncic. That team he dragged to the NBA Finals last year, his numbers, I mean, he is a seminal talent.
You're not kidding.
Yeah. Was he overweight at times? Yeah. Was he a little bit prickly to deal with? Yeah. Did he talk to the refs too much? Yeah. Did not play great defense? Yeah. He's also an absolutely unique basketball player. So Trae Young's a unique basketball player, but it hasn't gotten us very far other than an NBA Eastern Finals, 5 years ago now? So
long ago.
Let's turn our attention to some college football.
We're 2 days away from not having to say the words mock draft anymore in 2025. Jesus, take the wheel. Great article out of AL.com about Kirby Smart and what he is about to do. He is on pace to crack records when it comes to putting players in the NFL in the shortest amount of time. For reference, this will be Kirby's 9th draft. Through year 8, he had 63 players go, so he's just short of putting 8 per year, and that's Saban-esque, although it's a little better than Saban-esque. Obviously, Saban has a bigger body of work, and they include his LSU year. He has 156 kids, around 7 per year. If this happens like they're saying it happens, 13 to 14 stakes seems to be the number. Georgia players that could get drafted over the next 3-4 days here, it's going to be something else. And what Kirby is doing, when you just go recruit, portal or no portal, I would say to them, well, let me just show you the latest drafts from all 9 years, because it is unprecedented how many he's getting in. And the quality of players. Your boy Peter Schrager, and I say your boy Stake, employed Peter Schrager. Now he's with ESPN NFL. He's been working the phones. He's been tweeting. Have you seen what he's tweeting?
I did not.
Jalen Walker is the talk of the draft, like the most professional, personable, smart, and the baddest on the field.
Yep.
He is the guy. Mykel Williams and Malachi Starks are moving up, and they're going to both be drafted higher than projected.
Well, Mykel Williams, if he's drafted higher than projected, then will not land at 15, but there's still a 50% chance he's there at 15, and the Falcons will have a decision to make. We'll have all kinds of draft coverage Friday morning after the draft. Myself, Drew Butler, Rusty Manziel, 9 to 11. Don't forget Mike Johnson and Rusty will be doing stuff on Friday morning. When we come in, it won't be like last year where the number one day in the history of sports talk radio, in the history of the city, when the Falcons drafted Michael Penix Jr., but it will be a very interesting morning.
Quickly, I want to follow the bouncing Iyama Liavas. Nico is now going to UCLA. UCLA's quarterback, Joey Aguilar, who was at App State, has now gone to Tennessee. But wait, Madden Iyama Liava, who had originally committed to UCLA and then flipped to Arkansas, is now flipping back. And he will join his brother UCLA. Okay. Madden is a freshman, and obviously Nico is a redshirt sophomore. I'm sick of this drama. I wish all those crazy kids well. It's absurd.
Well, I mean, the portal and the current state of college football or college basketball, any of those sports. But, here's the difference. Once these guys are on the field and once UCLA takes the field in the Big 10, Everyone will be watching. So it's frustrating as some of this stuff is. The numbers have never been higher for college football. The interest will remain despite the craziness of what kids are getting paid or not getting paid. And you'll see the revolving door continue.
Latest podcast I want to highly recommend, Lane Kiffin on the Pivot Podcast. The Pivot Podcast, y'all, is Ryan Clark, Fred Taylor, and Channing Crowder. It is excellent. This episode is excellent. He had Nick Saban on 3-4 months ago. Lane Kiffin sitting down. And
so
they're
on the road. They go to Oxford.
They will go
right?
wherever. Yeah, they go to these campuses. They go to these places. Yeah, so okay. They're sitting in Ole Miss in their it looks to be their football lounge, I think it is. And Lane was all over the place in terms of stuff. He talked about his dad at length and the impact that his father had. But what really hit home was how, first of all, Lane Kiffin looks so different. I don't know if y'all have seen him from when he was. If you go look when he was at FAU, he was probably 50 pounds heavier. So he's cleaned up his life, and he talks about getting sober. You hear that a lot, Stake, of folks that are making changes, and then the first thing they say is, I can't get over how good I feel.
Yeah, I mean, listen, sober curious is a thing. Non-alcoholic beverages, mocktails mm-hmm. are a thing. It's a whole movement that everybody knows who's got friends that have been attached, family members to addiction, and the transformation. You hear a lot of these folks saying, I did dry January, and next thing you know, I said, let's go a few months, and then you know, it's been 2 years, and I go, God bless you.
Right.
I mean, there's no question that Lane Kiffin looks amazing, is clear thinking. You have another cut here?
Yeah, and this is where he talks about it. He kind of, his family really straightened him out.
Yeah, so the rock bottom, a very big AA term for folks, right? Is when you're in meetings, they say, what was your rock bottom that got you in the doors?
Well, likely you turned down interventions. You likely had talks with people that said you kind of need to clean it up. But whatever your rock bottom was, unfortunately, it's a lot of times something happens. You get arrested,
dramatic,
or you lose your
right.
family, or you know, whatever
so
it is.
He's saying it wasn't that, but that his daughter left Southern California to come live in Oxford. Then he says his son has done the same, and it was a very impressive Lane Kiffin who sat back there and just talked about he was a freewheeling, pretty hard-drinking, blank talker about everything from the Tennessee years to the Cal years and USC years.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a guy at peace who also did a whole bit. I watched, you sent me the podcast about the SEC and you know, why he started up the way he did last year and talked about, listen, winning, trying to win at LSU in Gainesville, where they lost both games last year to Baton Rouge, and mm-hmm. among mm-hmm. others, losing at Baton Rouge and losing in Gainesville, is not like losing at Purdue, is his point. And he doubled. He said, they're just placed in the Big Ten. It's just not the same. There is no break in the SEC. He goes, you go places in other conferences, and the ACC was referenced as well. Let's be honest, trying to win at Chapel Hill or trying to win at Boston College in Chestnut Hill or trying to win in Raleigh is not like trying to win in Columbia, South Carolina, or Gainesville,
Absolutely.
Or Baton Rouge. And
Absolutely.
That was his point.
Yeah.
So when you go and you look at being the 12 best teams in the playoffs, his point is you have to factor in the 12 best teams. And my gosh, look at where we lost. They also whooped Georgia.
Right.
I mean, Georgia hasn't been whooped like that in a long time. So I found the whole thing. Thanks for sending that along last night.
One of the other hits that he said that on this exact podcast was they were talking about Carson Beck and how high that, you know, folks were talking of him and his transfer. And he goes, they must not have watched tape of Carson against us.
That was so funny,
yeah.
Dude.
He loves Jackson Dart. Lane
so
does.
Funny.
He absolutely
What about
does.
Carson Beck? We're gonna play that later?
Yeah, well, that's coming up in
Talk
belly
about
up.
A dude that is...
he is not having a good
if,
few
if
weeks.
He had an agency in Hollywood responsible for his approval rating, they probably need to get fired.
It's 100%.
It's not
right.
been a good time
yeah, yeah.
for Carson Beck.
Yeah, I just really think dads and moms and everybody, because he really does kind of bottom line it in terms of his key line was, I was the better version of myself was happening before I got home. And I would go home and I would either grab a drink or not, but I was tired because I was likely hungover the day before. Like the whole way he laid it out,
well,
I
just
was
said
so
I did very well at my job. But then I, you know, my break, and people can relate to, like, my break is at 6:45 p.m.
Coming home.
Meet your buddy for a drink or have that, you know, Don Draper. Need to have that cocktail waiting for him.
Yeah.
You know? Just what happened to the Daves, the wives. You walk through the door. They hand you the drink. They take, you know, your shoes. Kids, stay away from daddy. He's had a long day.
Yeah.
When do we get back to that?
That's
right?
Kimberly does that for you.
When do we get back to taking care of daddy? When we come back, Kirk Cousins and the Falcons. Are we ready to just have this thing over once and for all?
Yes.
And the Falcons have to lean in harder. We'll talk about that. And also, if Trae Young was traded, how'd you feel? 404-726-0929, the number. Sports Radio 92.9.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.